This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We've got clouds in the sky. We've got 63 degrees, and you've got me on the radio with Mike Winters this afternoon. We haven't done this in a long time.
I know. I figured that you didn't like me anymore, so you quit.
No, I normally am busy with other things. Certainly during this time, everybody is staying busy, but we're glad folks are listening this afternoon. I have to admit, I have not been outside since I walked in early this morning. I can see outside. I went outside long enough to, you know, feel that it was still raining at noon.
Yeah, it was raining. It's been raining all day, basically.
Okay, I'm just checking on that. But mild temperature, 63 degrees.
Yeah.
And I imagine you've been busy out in people's yards today.
Well, actually, I've been driving around and talking to people about their yards, and the crew has been very, very busy. But, you know, I help them when I can, and the rest of the time I'm out talking and planning and consulting and bidding and those kinds of things. So that's basically my job anymore.
I have been managing to get the lawn mowed on a pretty normal basis.
Not since I last saw it.
Well, when did you last see it?
Yesterday or the day before.
I see. Well, it's not. I mowed it on Friday.
Okay.
Friday night. I think so. Or Saturday. Maybe on Saturday. One or the other.
Quit hitting the sprinkler heads,
so,
would you?
I did not hit the sprinkler heads.
Oh, they just bend automatically. Okay.
I don't know how that happened.
Oh, I ought to take people on a tour of your yard.
But my yard looks a whole lot better than it used to, let me tell you.
I know, but you know, when you told me about that one sprinkler head that was bubbling up like the Fountain of Youth, you know, as we dug around there, we found a root growing over the top of the head, and that was displacing all the water.
So where did that root come from? Because there's no
plant. I don't know.
There's no plant nearby.
I don't know. I can't, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe it came from the rhododendrons, but it doesn't look like a rhododendron root, and then you got your big dogwood over in the corner, and I thought, well, maybe it came from there. Had a big bulge in it.
Huh.
Big bulge, like an egg, and I'm thinking, what in the world is that? And so anyway, we dug it out and cleaned it out so that it works.
All right. Well, check's in the mail.
Yeah,
but people, you know, one of the things with people, more people working from home is, although for a lot of people in Douglas County, it's certainly not like being in a big city. But if you are able to do all your work from home and you're expected to put in, let's say, 8 hours, you don't have to commute to work. You don't have to go to lunch. Yeah, you're not picking up your kids from school because they're home too, or they're somewhere.
Yeah.
And so people are getting, I think, more time in the yard.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
I was out at a couple of places over the weekend, and I even ended up, you probably didn't notice it, but because it wasn't a huge change, but right behind my utility room, put in or replaced a couple of big paver stones that I'd taken out earlier, put those back, and then over on the north side of the house where I had some to kind of direct the flow of the gutter before I had somebody clean those out, I got different stones to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a really cool-looking rustic redstone over in the corner where you guys took out the back corner towards the house that's got the pool, where we took out a plant there.
Yeah.
You guys took out a plant. I just said, take that out.
That's
that's the extent of my work.
I know.
Just trying to make some improvements.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple ideas. And my wife said, wait a minute, you're trying to do all this. And why are you? I kind of got energized on Sunday and was out running some errands, had borrowed a pickup, and it's like I had that, so I didn't really want to get the paver stones in my yuppie vehicle. And, you know, I try to keep it just, you know, pristine. And so got that, but I looked around, and it's like, okay, all this is done. And I'm just looking for little ideas, and I've got a few. I've got, haven't gotten to it yet, but there's someone in mind to finish off a little section of fence over by the air conditioning unit,
mm-hmm.
and connect it to the other fence.
That would be good.
Yeah, to make a more secure backyard, et cetera. So, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, even if I have got time to think about this, which I've been pretty busy, it appears, in news, but I'm sure a lot of people are really looking at things, and this is probably the time to connect with people like you to get projects on the calendar.
Well, we are absolutely swamped. I've never been this busy in all my landscaping years. And I've got yesterday I scheduled a project for September.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the nursery's been very busy. People have been buying lots of plants and coming in and just doing, and what you say is they're home. So, hey, let's fix the yard up. Let's make it pretty. We live here. Let's do something. And they are. It's just amazing what's happening.
Wow. So yeah. what do you have on, you got a raft of.
Well, I got 6 pages of notes here. Oh. I hate to run out.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Well prepared.
I am well prepared. And, if you do have a phone call, you have a question, 673-4464 will get you right in here to the hotline, and Kyle will answer, and then I'll answer your question. How's that? And thank you for listening. And this is an educational show. This is to give you ideas. This is to help you in whatever project you've got going on in your yard. Hey, we can make it easier. I can make it easier for you possibly, or I can tell you where to go to make it easier. So listen, and I appreciate all the calls all the time, because you hit me, you know, point blank, and I got to think very quickly on my feet and come up with a real answer. So I appreciate that. And by the way, we are not closed. We are open 9 to 5, 6 days a week. So Wintergreen Nursery out in Highway 99 and south of Winston, we're there to serve you. So did you know this? You probably didn't, because I've never seen a vegetable garden in your yard.
Well, you recall that you even brought a tomato one year,
yeah,
and said put it right there because that's the perfect spot.
Yeah.
And I failed that.
Why?
I don't know. It just didn't work. Perfect spot for shade, irrigation, etc.
Oh gosh.
One lone tomato plant couldn't even grow that.
Well, you know, I think I'll have to give you some more hints probably along the way there. But
hold that thought, because let's go to the phone and see who we've got. You are on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your question?
I have a question about a golden delicious apple tree.
Yes.
I've had it for about 5 years. And in the past, it has bloomed proficiently, and I have had to pull a lot of young apples off of it so it would get some mature ones on it.
Sure.
This year, maybe 4 blooms total.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've seen that all over the county, and I even experienced it in my little mini orchard at the nursery. It had more than 4 blooms, but it certainly wasn't like it was in previous years. And I think that the weather has something to do with it. And it was a long, cold stretch for a while there, and then it's not been that many days where it's been warm and sunny, but I have some at my house that are just budding up right now. And of course, I live in a little shadier area because I got a lot of timber and stuff, so the sun doesn't get to it a lot. But I think that you may have do you have leaves on this at all or not?
It is fully leafed out,
but just a few flowers. So maybe it's taking a rest. I don't know. It's a mystery to me too, because I've never seen this before. I've always seen them, very, very full. On the other hand, on the flip side of that, I've seen some, the commercial orchards. They're just most of them are just full of blooms, and
right,
have been for the last month or so. So I'm just kind of debating on what the heck, why is that happening? I really can't give you a real answer.
I have 3 plum trees and a pear tree, a Bartlett pear, and they have all bloomed out very nicely.
Yeah, my Asian pear has. I mean, and even my cherry tree that the deer tried to destroy the last 2 years had more blooms on it. But my Asian pear was just chock full of blooms, couldn't get any more on it. But then right adjacent to these apple trees that I'm talking about, I've got another apple tree with 4 different types of apples on it, all grafted on there, and it's full of blooms. So I don't know. It's 50
well,
feet away.
I hope I don't lose the tree. I'm concerned.
No, you won't lose the tree.
Okay.
No, you won't lose it. Just maybe give it some more potassium and phosphorus, and it won't help it this year, but it'll help it in future years.
Okay. How about lime? Should I lime it?
You can, but I wouldn't overdo it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right. 673-4464. Just that simple for you to get direct access to the Commissioner of Dirt on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
The Commissioner of Dirt. You know, I didn't name myself that. These people at this radio station flung that name on me years and years ago. So
it was supposed to be
a joke
for a week or two, and then it just blew
now
all over town.
Now I meet strangers in the store who I don't know, and they say, "Oh, you're the Commissioner of Dirt. I listen to your program." I'm thinking, "Geez, Louise."
I was actually in line somewhere a while back when I don't remember where that was, and somebody I don't know, I was you know, two or three people back in a checkout line somewhere, and somebody was talking they said, well, that Commissioner Dirt was on the radio today, and he said, and they had no idea that I was back there. I didn't say anything.
Oh,
but they're, you know, and then there are the people that I get a kick out of who have no clue that you used to have this other day job.
Oh, yeah.
Because they haven't lived here as long.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Oh, said, why do they call him that?
That
I don't know.
Where that came from.
Yeah. You combine two of my occupations into one.
Right, because they both had some combined elements.
Well, anyway, my starting statement here is I was wondering if everybody knew that vegetables in the ground help each other. You can plant certain veggies side by side, close together, and they grow better, they produce more, and are happy to do it. And planted close, they encourage pollination, and they build soil nutrient levels as well. Now, long ago, Native Americans discovered that planting corn, beans, and squash was beneficial to the plants as well as to the soil, because the squash's large leaves shaded the soil, and moisture retention was the net result of that. And then corn plants, they would grow tall, a tall stalk, and then the beans, they would plant the beans at the base of the corn plant and the stalk, and then the beans would use the corn to climb up and do their thing instead of a lattice, or, you know, they didn't probably have lumber back in those days, but the beans knew what to do. They climbed up the corn stalk, so they were they all helped one another. They were there to assist, if you will. And you can try this in your own garden with these plants, and I listed a few here. Broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage will do well when they're planted with carrots, beans, lettuce, onions, and herbs. And for some reason, they like each other. They help each other. Don't ask me how. I don't have a clue. But they do that, and they just produce more. They're healthier for having done that. And then tomatoes, they like living with marigolds, onions, basil, strawberries, and cucumbers. Huh? Who knew? But apparently somebody did, because they've been doing research on it and finding that this, in fact, is true. And then some plants, they repel pests that will eat your garden to the ground, of course. But basil can keep whitefly, which is a disease, I'll tell you. Little tiny whiteflies, they can keep them off your tomatoes. And then peppermint oil, I don't know what the heck, I've heard of it, but I've never used it. Peppermint oil can repel mice. Huh. And even slugs won't come around with certain herbs in the garden. However, I have never tried any of these personally, and then these natural insecticides, but I'm going to try some and see if the research that I've been doing is actually online or on the spot, or they're just kind of blowing smoke. So anyway, experiment, see what happens. Try some of this in your own garden, and at least put some marigolds in there. Marigolds, I know that I planted them in between my potatoes and my tomatoes one year, and for some reason, I had a good crop of both potatoes and tomatoes, and it was, I know they repelled the deer, because I got deer passing through there, but they also invited a lot of pollinating insects in, and it's not just honeybees that pollinate. A lot of these little flying insects, they go from flower to flower, and they pollinate and they cross-pollinate. They probably don't even know what they're doing, but they're feeding themselves, but they're also feeding the plants, so that it'll be more productive. So, the commercial.
Yeah, you saw what was about to happen right there.
Yes, I did.
Very perceptive of you.
Usually, I've got the timing down pretty good. So,
all right, you're close. All right, 20. The Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, back in 2 minutes. It's KQEN Local Talk at 4, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Hi there, it's the weekly visit with the Commissioner of Dirt. He's entered the building, he's on your radio, and he's here for you to impart wisdom that only he has. And can only, well, maybe that is, wait a minute, what did your press release say? No, okay.
I have no idea.
Never mind. I'm getting giddy this afternoon.
It must be the atmosphere.
There we go. Talking vegetables and more this afternoon.
Yeah, vegetables and the plants that help one another in your vegetable garden. And in the last segment, I was talking about marigolds and black-eyed Susans. Asters and coneflowers are also attractive to pollinators, but you know what else it does? It really, really makes your garden attractive. If you know, a row of tomatoes is fine. It's beautiful, and they do their thing, and they look good, etc. But just imagine some marigolds, or even some petunias, or geraniums in between each plant. You know, you've not only got a vegetable garden, but you got a flower garden as well. And the more flowers you have in there, the just more pollinators come in and do their thing. And when that happens, your produce is a lot heavier. Your plants are a lot better. Your plants are a lot healthier for that experience. And I don't know if they talk to one another at all, but it seems to do the job. So the more flowers you're going to plant, the more veggies you get to eat. And like I say, it's more colorful when all those flowers in bloom. And you have flowers out there that will, in fact, bloom all summer long while you have your garden and while it's producing, your food. It's simple. Now, here's a thing I threw in as I was doing some research. Years ago, I discovered this, but I don't know why it occurred to me now. Did you know that in the 1890s, the Dillard, Oregon area was the hops capital of Oregon? They grew more hops in Dillard than any other place in Oregon. And the hops grown in Dillard were harvested and exported to Germany, where they were used in, of course, making German beer. And I guess then when the beer was made, it was imported back to Dillard. You know, that's my guess. But that's true stuff. And the hops, and hops are those real tall plants that get, 30 or 40 feet tall, and you got to have really long poles and lines for them to crawl up. But they're useful in the health of humans as well, and not just for making beer, but in actual health situations. They have an anti-inflammatory qualities, and I don't know, they didn't go, the article didn't go into what it actually do, but hops can aid in digestion by calming a restless stomach. When used in a tea, dried hops may help with irritable bowel syndrome and Crohn's disease and ulcers. And I thought, gee, that's cool. We got a lot of hops growers in the northern part of the state. And I'm surprised there's not, we've got grapes and we've got vineyards all over the place. And we've got farms, the Cruz farms and the Broside farms and other farms around. I'm surprised nobody's growing any hops. There's other than making beer, I know there's other uses for them. Besides, they're kind of a wild, attractive plant as well, in that they grow so large. And apparently, they're just a hardy, hardy, hardy thing. And I've seen some there up, up above in the Salem area, off to the east of I-5. You're through the farming country in the little towns along Highway 99, and you can see a lot of those hops farms, and they're right next to the road, so you can't miss them. You go, what the heck? The first time I saw it, what the heck is that thing way up in the air? Well, it was. I had to ask, and somebody said, oh, those are hops. I had no idea. But, hops are also used in natural deodorants and cleansing and cleaning products. Huh. Dried hops in your pillowcase, I don't know how true this is, but they said dried hops in your pillowcase may help to cure insomnia and reduce anxiety. Okay. And there's this thing called HopGuard. It's naturally derived from hops and helps prevent colony collapse disorder in beehives. And that we've had quite a rash of that in the last few years. Of all of a sudden the beehive is empty, the bees are gone, and some are dead, or the whole thing dies, or they all go away. I'm not sure why or how. I know mine have gone away. I had three hives at the nursery for a few years, and then, bing, one day they were gone. And we were very careful never to use insecticides or pesticides or anything like that around them and anywhere near them. But for some reason, they just kind of disappeared. So then I tried a single one, and they stayed for a season, and they split the scene. Excuse me. But at any rate, if this HopGuard can prevent colony collapse disorder, I have to find, I guess, somewhere that somebody sells it or produces it, and try the honeybee thing again. And just remember, hops are more than beer. You know, it's good stuff. It works. It's something that we could all use. And I know I've seen quite a few hives around Douglas County as since I got in. You know, you never see something like that's always there unless you've got one or you're familiar with one. It's like you bought a blue Ford pickup and you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you see all these blue Ford pickups and you go, geez Louise, I thought I was the only one. Well, when I had my beehives out there, the guy that helped me, he was a doctor that moved away to Sacramento for whatever reason, but he helped me get started, and he had like 10 or 12, 15 hives, and I mean, his place was crazy, and they had them right in the back of his house, and his kids ran around in there, and nobody bothered him, I don't know. But anyway, he started me out, and here I have these hives, and then as I'm driving around Douglas County, all of a sudden I see all these hives at these different ranches and different homes and different areas, and I thought, gosh, I had never noticed those before. And so when you're tuned into something, it seems like all of a sudden they're all over the place, and you can't figure out, well, how in the world did that happen? When did they move that in? So anyway, you know, it's kind of interesting, too. I had a call this morning. I was at the nursery. Oh, I get there about 6 in the morning, and I do some paperwork and, you know, get things kind of cranked up for the day. And about 7 o'clock or 7:30 or whatever, phone rings in the office, and usually I don't answer it, but what the heck. I was sitting there doing stuff, and I said, well, okay, hi, the Wintergreen Nursery, can I help you? And he says, yeah. And so there was this call from a guy that listens to the show, and I gave him my best advice on his question, and his question triggered my brain to go over the advice one more time, since that plant, this is a plant your garden really, and there's planting time here in Douglas County that you need to be paying attention to. He asked me basically, how do I improve the soil? What do I do? I've got weeds, I've got this, I've got that. So I kind of gave him a step-by-step scenario of what you have to do to grow a producing garden, something that actually works, something that you're not going to be a slave to. And so I know I've spoken about this before many times, but since this is the vegetable season and we're in the throes of it from now till, you know, say the 1st of June, and people are buying vegetables everywhere, and we got our vegetables out at the nursery, and I'm eyeballing the stuff that I want to put out in my garden. It's not going to be, you know, huge, but it's going to be enough to supply quite a bit of food, not for our table, but for the rest of the family as well. But again, number one is soil preparation. And that's what this gentleman was asking me about. How do I prepare the soil? And the better you prepare the soil, the more success you're going to have. And it's the best thing you can do for your vegetable garden. It's actually the best thing you can do for if you're planting a lawn or if you're planting shrubs or not, anything else that you're planting. When you prep the soil and make it as good as you possibly can for that plant, it does better. Simple. It's because those plants are grown in a nursery situation, and they're planted in the best kind of soil that that nursery can produce to grow that plant so it grows fast and healthy and large by sale time. That's the deal. So soil prep, like I say, best thing you can do for your garden. With good soil prep, plants are going to grow quickly, they're going to be strong, and they're going to be productive. So what the heck, if you've never done it before, what do you do? Well, number one, if you have your spot picked out, you till, especially if this is clay, you know, and most of Douglas County is clay. There's a few exceptions, like along the river areas, along the South Umpqua, North Umpqua, where there's been flooding in past years. You know, there's some good soil there. So, and I'm fortunate enough to, at my nursery, my topsoil, my good soil is 19 feet deep on my property at the nursery. I can stick a broomstick in the ground and it'll grow leaves. You know, it's amazing. But if you're typical Douglas County, you've got a lot of clay soil in there, and you might have a little bit of rock, a little bit of shale, that kind of thing. Well, number one, till the soil until you can stick your hand down at least 5 inches into it without any resistance, without meeting any resistance. In other words, you might have to till it 3 times before you achieve that. But the more you till it and break up that native soil, the better you aerify that which was compacted for so long. the nutrition is kind of stirred up and stirred around. Now, some folks will say, well, by over-tilling, you wreck the nutrient value of the soil. I don't believe that. I've not seen that really in all my experience. But if the soil, like I say, is heavy clay, after you've tilled it maybe twice, maybe 3 times to get that that fluffiness and that that consistency you want, then you start to add ingredients to loosen it even further and improve the drainage. And good drainage is mandatory. And I've spoken about that, you know, 100 times at least on this show, because that's usually what is most detrimental to any plant materials that you're putting in, be it vegetables or a maple tree or a fir tree. The better the drainage, the better the growth, the better the root systems, and et cetera. So with these little garden plants that you're buying at different nurseries and box stores with their small little root system, you can't just dig a hole in clay, stick them in, and push the clay in and pat it down, because it's going to struggle. And if it lives, it's not going to be very productive. But in most cases, it's going to be very weak and not very productive. So that's why you want to add some ingredients to continue to loosen the soil and improve the drainage. Good drainage, like I say, is mandatory. So, boy, excuse me. So with the heavy clay, add some organic material like old bark mulch, old fine grind bark mulch. We've got, you know, the co-op's got it, Magnolia Farms has got it, and they've got planting, it's called Fert Rich. You do all those kinds of things and you incorporate this, and you can use peat moss, or you can use a little bit of sand, or like I say, the Fert Rich is good. And you put it in and you mix it all together, and you mix it so that when you really do stick your hand in there prior to planting, it goes down easily. And when you plant that little tiny tomato or pepper or whatever you're going to do, it plants easy, you're ready to go, and it roots out very easily. So do we have another commercial coming on?
We do.
How's that for timing?
Wow, very good.
I know.
You've done this for a while.
A couple days.
All right. 4:36, back with more in a moment. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, the Commissioner of Dirt, News Radio 1240 KQAN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Now, you're not supposed to put cheese on broccoli.
Good.
That does not help the health. Oh, wait a minute. Hi there.
And cauliflower, too.
No.
Oh, a cheese sauce on cauliflower? Have you ever had it?
That it would defeat the purpose of the vegetable.
Oh, no, you don't float it in it. You just, you know, kind of season it. It's good.
Don't mind us. Back on task here. Mike Winter's lawn, and we're just thinking
this
ahead.
This is the Mike Winter's cooking show.
No, we won't.
Yeah.
Stick to what you're good
okay,
at.
Okay, we're talking gardens and how to make a good one and you know, reduce your frustration level when you're doing these garden things. And I've been talking about how to make your soil better by adding different nutrients, nutrition and ingredients, organic materials to loosen your soil, improve your drainage and all that kind of stuff. And if you do this, you're going to have much better success. And when you mix these materials together, you can grow anything and have great success. New plants are not going to struggle, and the root will root in very quickly with this kind of a mix because there's no resistance. Clay particles are the smallest particles of any kind of soil, and they're tight. That's why they don't drain. And so you got this little baby tomato with these little tiny roots trying to penetrate that thing. It can't, or it's very slow. And that's why you amend the soil so it can get a good vigorous start. It gets a good vigorous start. Guess what? It grows big and it produces a lot of stuff. Otherwise, it sits there and wilts. Or maybe you have a tomato or two and that's all there is to it. So the more you add organic material and other types of ingredients to your soil, the better off your garden is going to produce. You're going to not struggle. They're not going to struggle. Yeah, of course, it'll grow some weeds, but that's okay. You can get out there on your hands and knees and weed them. That's all right. But each year, when you're doing your garden prep, add a little bit more compost and some of the same type. It just enhances the soil, and year after year it gets better and better. Now, in the old days when my grandparents were gardening and my grandmother's family were wheat and potato farmers in Lithuania. Uh-huh. And they did this the old-fashioned way. They tilled in all their leftover leaves, stems, and whatever they were growing. Every year they tilled it back into the soil, and that's what they did because there was no Walmart and there was no Kmart, and there wasn't here either, but no Freddy's, nobody around. And to sell them bags of potting soil or bark mulch or anything like that. So they used all the natural ingredients to put it back into the soil. And all those natural ingredients, leaves, stems, small stems, etc., mixed into that soil, decomposes and adds richness and it adds diversity to the soil. And it's good for the soil, and therefore you have good crops. It's not rocket science. It's just paying attention to, you know, what what are your needs? What can you do? And of course, they use manure from animals, you know, cows, horses, pigs, whatever, chickens, rabbits. I don't know. And I'm sure they added that to it. But that was all a natural thing. And you can still do that today. It's just that it's a lot easier to buy bags or a dump truck full of stuff from the local whoever, and it's been aged properly, and it works and it's good. Now, the size of the garden is important. You don't need an acre for a garden unless you have a booth at the farmer's market this coming summer, should they be there. But if you're a first-time gardener, you just want to get started, you don't know what to do, start with something small. You know, don't let your garden plan get bigger than the labor that you can apply to the success of that garden. And I've said this before on other shows, a 10 by 10 plot, that's all, 10 feet by 10 feet, that is enough to grow about $700 worth of veggies. Now, $700 worth of veggies, if you plant them on like 1 foot centers, the tomatoes are a foot apart, the peppers are a foot apart, the cucumbers are a foot apart, whatever you're planting, when you plant them that close in this 10 foot square, Number one, they're going to fill up that garden space really well. And when they do that, weeds are going to have a hard time getting established because there's no room for the weeds because these garden plants have taken over. So that's going to reduce your workload a little bit. And on a 10 by 10 spot, you can experiment a little bit. Like I say, you're the first, this is the first time you ever did it. I've never done it before. I'm going to try this. And a lot of folks make the mistake of saying, well, I need something that's, you know, 40 feet long and 50 feet wide. Yeah, well, you do that kind of thing the first time around without the proper equipment or the help or anything like that. And usually after that first year, you never want to do that again. Or you reduce it dramatically and drastically so that you're not out there working 7 days a week in it. And I made that same mistake, even though I've had gardens all my life. I grew up with gardens. I helped my parents garden. I had my own gardens in my Roseburg home. But then I get out there to the nursery, and I buy that property. And like I say, it's all topsoil. I got plenty of water. And a friend of mine says, hey, let's have a garden. I'll help you on this. And I said, well, shoot, let's pick out this area. And I think it was like 60 feet by 60 feet or maybe a little bit larger. But so what? We got plenty of room, right? I got 8 acres of topsoil out here to deal with. So we planted rows of corn and rows of sunflowers and rows of tomatoes and peppers and I don't know, squash. Oh, my gosh, the squash. And there it was. And it looked good. It was coming up. You know, I had the irrigation all set up and sprinklers all set up. And it came on, and it was a great summer. It was beautiful gardening season. And then things started to ripen. The tomatoes were ready to pick. The peppers were ready to pick. The corn was ready to pop off the stalk. The only problem with that is I had 5,000 pounds of each commodity, and I couldn't eat it fast enough, and I couldn't give it away fast enough. And even though we were kind of partners in this garden deal, we still both had way too much, and you couldn't can it all because there was too much to can. And so one ploy it was that we got brown paper bags, and we picked all the tomatoes or peppers and whatever, corn, et cetera, and brought them into the nursery retail building. And when people would come in and buy a plant, they might buy a geranium for $2. And I'd say, well, hey, would you like some vegetables? Oh, yeah. They're fresh grown right here. Oh, yeah, we'd like. So we'd hand them a shopping bag full of tomatoes, and they'd go, wow, what am I going to do with all these tomatoes? But it was better than throwing them away, and I couldn't eat any more tomatoes. I was full of tomatoes. I was full of peppers and corn, and I love all three. But, you can only eat so much of it before it's getting old, man. But at any rate, we gave so much away. And that was a great lesson for me. Just because I had the water, just because I had the help, and just because I had the equipment and the machinery to put it all together and the nursery to grow the stuff, I was a big-time farmer with my big plot. But I'll tell you what, I've reduced that plot significantly since then. And it's a whole lot easier, and we still get a lot of produce from it. So size of your garden plot is very, very important. If you're a rookie and you're just starting out, a 10 by 10 is great. Or even container plants. I mean, you get a big some big containers and plant one with peppers, one with tomatoes, and one with cucumbers, and one with whatever. And you'll be amazed at how much you can have and how much you can produce and how much you can eat of vegetables. So large gardens just take a lot of time, period, to do a good job. You're out there all the time. And if you don't stay up on it, then the weeds encroach, and then you've got all kinds of stuff. And weeds grow in with your veggies, believe it or not. They do that. And weeds compete with your veggies for water, for nutrition, for sunlight, all that. And guess what? Weeds are stronger for the most part and are more aggressive than like carrots, lettuce, and tomatoes. So, that's what you're a slave to, is pulling the weeds or hoeing the weeds or doing something to the weeds to get rid of them. And you're not going to spray them because you got your food growing right next to them. And we're going to go to a break.
And we're going to I was just contemplating the weeds that need to be pulled in my yard again, apparently. So.
Yeah, I saw them the other day.
All right, 4:49, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. Commissioner of Dirt back for the final segment in a moment. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Stick around. The afternoon report with Douglas County's news team on the way at 5. You've got 7 minutes and 30 seconds more with the Commissioner of Dirt.
I'm going to have to speak fast because I got 2 pages of notes here I haven't gone through yet. But anyway, I'm talking about gardens, their sizes, and what to grow and not to get too big. when you're starting out, if you're in the Cruz family, that's a different thing, or the Brosi family, that's a different thing. They've been doing it professionally for a lot of years, and they got all the tools and all the people to make it happen, thankfully. And I'm glad because I buy a lot of product from both of them. So anyway, keep your garden small, because big gardens, like I said, are a lot of work. Now, lastly, and I've only mentioned this 300,000 times, lastly, don't overwater your garden. If the soil is soggy, don't water. As the soil moisture drops, so will the roots of your vegetable plants. This builds a strong and more productive plant because it's reaching down and getting that natural moisture from the soil. And if you're out there irrigating and it's always swampy or super wet on top, you're going to rot roots and you're not going to be very productive. They need warm soil is the perfect thing you can have. And too much water, too cold, too wet, it excludes the oxygen from the root system. It doesn't work. So if you start small, and like I say, and have success your first time out, then you can add more ground and build a bigger garden. But once you learn the process, once you do all the ABCs and get it right, that gives you some enthusiasm for, hey, let's do instead of a 10 by 10, let's do a 20 by 10 or something like that if you've got the room in your yard. And you'll have learned from your first initial garden what you can do and what you need to do to be successful, and that's good. Now here's an idea too. You know, enlist some neighbors. You're in a neighborhood and there's a neighbor down the street that has a garden and one up the street that has a garden. Well, and get together if you have a cup of coffee and say, hey, you know what? I got a big yard, and if we all kind of joined in and worked, we could have a community garden. And there are some going around. Some churches have them. Some schools have them. Some neighborhoods have them. But more people, think about this, more people equals a larger garden with shared labor, and that shared labor is the key there. So just pick out your garden partners carefully. You want the energetic, enthusiastic type of gardener to do that. And they need to agree up front to work and share equally, or it's not fun. And when two of them go away on vacation and you're stuck with weed in the place and water in the place and harvest in the place, then it gets to be old and you say, I never want to do this again. So make sure that they're not going to go on vacation in July and August or September, and you're all there together, make it fun, iced tea, coffee, donuts, etc., talk, have some music going, and you make a lot of progress. Many hands make work a real light kind of thing. So, more information on your garden. There are gardening magazines. I got a Mother Earth News, the Mother Earth magazine or whatever that's called, the other day. And there's always new concepts in there. There's always something new that I've never heard of, or I've heard very little of it. And, they tell you how to do it, and they show you photos and say, well, yeah, I never thought of that before. But that's just part of the educational process. Or, you got your local garden guru in your neighborhood. Go talk to him. You know, ask him for advice. Get a something you can understand. Better yet, offer to help the guru with some of his produce. Go on down and say, hey, I don't know much, but you're such a good gardener. Let me help you. You tell me what I'm doing and what these things are, and let me help and let me learn. You know what? He'll say, yeah, come on down. People like that.
So even in your advanced years, with your experience, you are thinking and finding new things?
Oh, every day. Every single day, I got so much stuff coming into the nursery from every kind of growing thing on earth, and from the East Coast, West Coast, Asia, it doesn't matter. And they get my address, and they send me their books, and they send me their magazines, and there's so much information out there. It's totally amazing.
Wow.
Totally amazing. And And some of the stuff, I go, what? I never heard of that before. And they say, well, this is what we do, and this is what it's for, and this is how we use it, and this is how it grows, but it only grows in this zone, or it only grows in this type of climate, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you go, huh, I don't think I'll try that because it needs Southern California weather, and we ain't got that here in Douglas County at all.
And even periodically, people are able to grow things that folks say, oh, you can't grow that here.
Oh, I know. And kind of interesting, at Banner Bank in Winston, you know, we've been taking care of that for years and years and years and years, more years than some people have been alive. But we always plant some flowers at the entryway just to kind of jazz it up in the spring. Well, I planted this multicolored geranium. It's got green leaves and light green and dark green and yellow leaves and kind of an orange flower. And anyway, I just stuck it in there because I had an extra. I'll stick it in there and see what happens. Well, that was 3 years ago. Every year it comes back. Geraniums don't come back in this country, but this one has been coming back year after year. And when we had the snowmageddon, oh, it crushed it. It just crushed it. And I thought, well, it's gone. Well, as soon as the snow melted, there was little green shoots coming out of that puppy. And now, right now, today, it's probably a good 18 inches across and maybe 12 inches tall. And it's just pumping right out. It takes all kinds of weather. So, yeah. You learn a lot in this world, and you try to see what's going on. Do we have any more time left?
You've got just over a minute left. I was just going to say I was really happy when I was working in the yard over the weekend to notice the pink dogwood tree starting to look pretty good.
Pretty good. It's gorgeous. You can see it from two blocks away. It's beautiful. Whoever pruned that did a magnificent job, I think.
Yep. Just take a guess there as to what he meant by that statement. Well, and it's trimmed back a little bit, so it's not as big as it was a while.
Yeah.
But I've always liked the color of that tree, and there's certainly others around town that I enjoy looking at periodically. Yeah. I have the pink dogwood trees. I've always liked the color pink. I wear pink. And so I like the mix of pink and green on a property. It's just good look. So after hearing all this incredible wisdom from one of the senior, one of the experienced members of the community.
Senior members, I love it.
You didn't finish that.
I know.
How do folks get a hold of you?
Oh, you can call the nursery at 679-8224 or come on to Winston, go south of Winston. And I'm the second nursery past the South Umpqua River on the left-hand side of the road. All our roofs are green. Can't miss us.
All right, back next week with more on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Thanks for listening this afternoon. It is 5 o'clock.